I was thinking that I would do a bar after you did your bar so that we could compare the levels, but I guess we're both just singing now.
Cause suicide is painless. Brings on many changes. And I can't even leave it all behind.
I've never seen an episode of MASH.
Really?
Yeah, I've seen parts of episodes of MASH. I've never seen a whole episode.
It's fine.
Yeah, I mean, would have been really good for the time, right?
Yeah.
It was- like, imagine a similar kind of show that was about soldiers in Afghanistan now.
Yeah, well,
like how subversive that would be.
And like, they originally were marked out because they would never play a laugh track during surgery scenes.
Oh, I did not know
that. So yeah, so it had a laugh track like any other show from that period to prompt you psychologically into laughter, as we all know.
Yep.
And then when they did surgery scenes, they were like, we can't have a laugh track while people are doing surgery.
Because they were injured fighting a war in
Korea.
In Korea, yeah. So, I couldn't remember if it was north or south, but at that point in time, it was just Korea, wasn't it?
It's kind of just Korea. And so they would cut the laugh track there. And then eventually, they just cut the laugh track altogether. And so the show doesn't have a laugh track.
It's got an interesting tone to it, doesn't it? Like, it kind of shows how even a comedy can approach something in a kind of a respectful way. And I think that the fact that we don't have shows like that today says a lot about our political apathy.
We've got like a show like, we have The Good Place. It's like a dark kind of comedy.
Yeah, it's a dark comedy, but it's not a political dark comedy, is what I'm getting at. It says stuff about the human condition and philosophy and whatever, but it doesn't specifically critique the Trump administration, for example.
I think the closest thing we have is SNL, and that makes me want to vomit.
Yeah, and I mean, like, we talked about,
like, in my mouth.
There's that effect. They have a name for it, like the Tina Fey effect or something that, where satirizing a political figure actually makes them more likable because you get positive associations with that character.
If you haven't listened to Revisionist History already, you should listen to Revisionist History. It's a Malcolm Gladwell podcast. And one of the episodes he does is on satire, and he talks about that
Welcome to the Fastcast, everyone. My name is David.
Did we do silence? We didn't do silence or anything. We're just talking.
Yeah, I thought it would be funny if we just went straight into it and like this was just all in the episode.
Oh, okay. Leave it all in. Welcome to the Fastcast. I'm Slowpoke number one, John Nicolaitis.
I'm Slowpoke number two, David Chalante.
And we're playing it so chilled that my feet are up and we rambled into this podcast.
Yeah, we were talking about MASH.
Why? It was just MASH. I watched a lot of MASH as a kid, and so it has a very special
Alan
place.
Alan Alda.
Yes, that's it.
Yes.
Yes. You damn right you remember that name. Well, don't make me come over there and say Alan Alda's name into your ear.
Repeatedly until you remember it.
Yeah, that's Alan Alda. That's definitely staying in.
Yeah.
So we're obviously having a loosey goosey time, just chilling here, talking about stuff. David, apart from not having ever seen MASH, you heathen monster, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm all right. I spent a whole bunch of money on myself this week, so I can't really complain about that other than the fact that I have less money than I had before. But now I have goods. And I think a service? I might have spent money on a service.
You don't have any other services. You had to buy a service.
Like, not within that time period. Oh, I think I spent money on my phone service.
Ah.
But the lion's share of my money went on goods.
And a service.
So I bought myself some new computer parts because my processor pretty much had a warranty fault from the beginning, but I didn't realize that because I didn't really understand how warranties worked at that point in time. And so now my computer just every 2 days will just crash, and I've just been putting up with it. And the other day I was editing an episode of our show, and it was one of the most difficult edits I've ever done for this show, and my computer crashed at the 90% mark, and I did not check the box that said autosave, like I'm fucking 80 years old, and I lost all of it. And I blamed the computer because it's the computer's fault, definitely. It wasn't my bad saving practices. It was definitely the computer and nobody else's fault.
I'm having a retroactive heart attack for you right now.
And so I decided, fuck this. I've had enough. I've been meaning to upgrade this for a while to a CPU and motherboard that does work. Now I'm going to do it. And I spent a bunch of money on myself, so I'm very happy about that. I put my address in wrong in the shipping thing, though. And so rather than going to my workplace, which is very near the store I bought it from, it's actually going to my house. And so it's going to take 5 days instead of 24 hours. God. And after that, I didn't actually realize that they had another location that was even closer to my workplace, literally a 3-minute drive. I could have just gone and picked it up, but I didn't. And now I have to wait 5 days like a fucking caveman to get my electronics.
Oh, I mean, life really is very hard.
No one has suffered more than I.
No,
like,
no.
Like, everything else that happens in the world, this is the worst for me.
Yes, definitely for you. Yeah, I think that's exactly the worst for you. Wow.
Yeah. The upshot is, though, pretty soon I'm going to have a rad-as-fuck computer. I was hoping to work on that this weekend, but instead I came here and did this since I didn't have my parts, so... I don't know. I guess I'll engage in creative pursuits or something like that.
I know how much of a burden I am for you, David.
Yeah.
I demand so much of you.
Yeah. Just trying to make a joke about some artist who suffered terribly, but I'm just... I couldn't get there in time.
That was cool.
You couldn't feel it. I've made my jokes. I've made my shit-eating elitist jokes. How are you, John?
I'm pretty good, actually. I'm all right. I've had one of the hardest weeks of work in my entire life, and a family member has passed away, which was very sad.
Yeah.
Very, very sad.
Understandably.
Yeah. And I just want to say that David has been a dream about it. I want everyone to know right now, and he can't stop me because I have creative control over some of this project.
Yeah, the fast cast kind of falls into your domain a little bit more.
So me saying thank you, David, for all the wonderful work you do to make this show happen is staying in.
Oh, no.
Thank you, David. Everyone should know you're a gem. You're
damn
a diamond
it.
In the rough, David.
You've done it. The perfect crime.
Yes.
Now I'm powerless to stop you from praising and appreciating me.
I'm just glad I have this avenue to do that.
Yeah.
So we'll be launching our new show, Praise David, 24/7.
Yeah, I would like to take this moment to also say, John, I appreciate you very deeply as well. I'm glad that I could kind of help out a little bit in a difficult time for you. I'm glad to know that it was helpful. Mm-hmm. Despite the fact that it makes me slightly awkward that the world will be hearing this, it's still a good thing. And so let's combat toxic masculinity.
Yeah.
Let's express positive emotions to one another.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being rad and being a part of this project. And dear listener, thank you for being party to this project as well. We appreciate you.
It's great. Everyone's appreciated. Let's talk about something else.
Yeah. So you've played some video games, right?
Totally have. I've been playing a lot of Frostpunk.
Yes. We've talked about Frostpunk before, but I think it was like the day after we both got it.
Yeah. I think I'd played like 2-3 hours and I was like speculating wildly about how much I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So
you were just like really on point as far as games criticism goes, just really representative of the industry.
Zing.
Yeah.
But pretty much everything I said was actually turned out to be pretty true for my mind.
Here's my question. Could you choose a third pronoun in the opening menu? Because that's apparently all anybody needs to know about a fucking video game anymore.
Oh man, I'm so unplugged from gaming culture that I don't even understand that joke.
Battle Tech, I think it's called. There was a whole thing about how you can choose he, him, or they as a pronoun at the start. And guess how the gaming community reacted to
I only have one thing to do about that.
Oh, gamers though. Thanks so much for just constantly living down to our expectations.
Yeah. Now see, Frostpunk does the thing where it just addresses you as captain and never gives you a gender, which is probably the classier of all moves. But I am so in love with Frostpunk now that I might have commissioned a version of myself set in the Frostpunk universe.
Is that a thing?
By a friend of... No, like I got my friend to draw
an OC. I thought it was like a crowdsourcing thing for the sequel or something.
No. I paid a friend of mine who's an artist to draw me as a person in the Frostpunk world.
So that's basically to put him in steampunk guard and also make him a little bit cold.
And then also because my friend's a wonderful artist, I also got a furry version of myself as a possum in Arctic gear.
Okay. So I'm going to talk about something very funny I read online recently.
Okay.
Basically, we use the word millennial wrong.
Oh, yeah? I wouldn't be surprised.
No, like we use it mostly right, but a lot of people use it wrong. And so they'll refer to teenagers as millennials. Teenagers are not millennials. They are Gen Zers or Gen Zers, depending on where you are.
Cool.
Spider-Man in the Marvel Universe
Spider-Man.
Is a Gen Zer.
Yep.
Which means he definitely knows what a furry is. Which means that his spider-themed character is definitely a fursona. And if it's not a fursona, he would have to know that a lot of people would think that it is a fursona.
If it's not, it should be.
Yes, it should. That is great.
That I love that now. That's beautiful. So we're all thumbs up. Oh, that's great. I love that fact.
Yeah.
Think about it. That was my favorite part about stuff. Which I won't talk about because spoilers. I was going to start talking about things that happened in Infinity War, but it's not related, so I'm not going to bring it up. I'm a good spoiler-free boy.
We're still spoiler-free on Infinity War.
Yeah.
Think.
Yeah,
has that gone up? That's gone up.
Yeah.
Did anyone listen to that?
I hope so.
I don't know.
Yeah, people did.
Yeah okay. Yeah. I'm kind of paranoid that when you do a spoiler cast, no one's going to listen to it.
People listen to the spoiler cast. That's great. But we're here to talk about Frostpunk. And I just want to say, because like, we talked about it, we talked it up, but I hadn't really played it.
Yeah, I don't think I had played it at that point.
Now, having played it, I am still two thumbs up in my frozen steampunk apocalypse in the Arctic. I am having so much fun with this game.
Yeah.
Not only in the basic story mode that you start in, but then the game has alternate scenarios that place restrictions on you and how you play. And I found those to be as engaging as a puzzle. I've played at least 40 hours so far.
Yeah.
And I'm just like in icy heaven.
Yeah, I was having a pretty shit week when I bought it, and that was part of the reason I bought it, because it's a game you can just sink a lot of time into and really kind of grind, which I sometimes helps regulate my emotional state.
Yeah.
If it's done healthily, sometimes it's counterproductive. Mm-hmm. Bear that in mind, everyone. Context is important. But yeah, I spent a fair bit of time on it. I think I'm pretty much done with it now. I might give some of those alternate scenarios a go, which I haven't played yet. But it's a very hard game. Like, I still haven't quite figured it out because you've got to have so much housing and so much coal to deal with a certain number of people, but you can't have everybody work all the time in certain weather because they get sick very easily. And that element of the loop of I need people to work to get resources, but they get sick and then I don't have people who can collect the resources isn't a problem I've figured out how to solve yet.
Do you know that the Steam Nexus things, they have the same temperature as a generator?
I did figure that out. That made it, because I thought you could stack them. Mm. And so I wasted a lot of time putting two or three in the same area. That didn't work. Heaters in buildings are sometimes a more efficient way to do it. If I've got automatons, I just turn all of the heating off because you don't need to have the vent powered for the automaton to eat the coal from it.
Yeah, I love those spindly legged weird robot spider things.
The thing that I love about them is when they, just so that people are across what we're talking about, you can put like 10 workers into a building, or there are these massive automatons that you can put a single automaton into a building and it'll operate at a slightly lower efficiency, but 24/7.
They're so steampunk and so weird.
What I love about them is that they have that really spindly kind of legs and they fully step over the building and then lower themselves onto it and then integrate into the building. It isn't that they go inside and work as a robot. Hmm. They automate the facility. I think that's a really cool transformation.
Yeah, they also crush people occasionally.
Oh, do they?
Yes.
I did not know that.
it's a very infrequent. It might just be one of those.
Is it like an event or is
it a little flash up. Like when someone gets crossbow. Cool.
That hasn't happened to me yet. I thought I was just wandering my automaton all over my populace. Like, oh God, no.
Yeah. They were like, oh, we should make them walk slower. And I was like, that would make them less efficient. We can't do that.
I really like the desperation that the game builds as well. Like, they have a lot of these laws. The two basic trees are faith and order.
Yeah.
Both of which are quite, they're all about centralizing power.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that even though one feels a little bit more cuddly and is a bit more about promoting hope rather than organizing people into strict disciplinary roles.
Yeah.
They're both quite bleak and the game captures that pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a good style and a good tone to it.
Yeah, no, I'm just really impressed. And I do feel that the extra scenarios, they feel a bit shorter because they're just focusing more on gameplay elements and the story is kind of mostly told through the main game, but there still is a story in this, like, extra scenarios to get. And I would say it's worth playing them. That you can play them way faster than you can play the main game because you kind of get what they're about.
I played with some of the difficulty settings as well. I turned the temperature difficulty down to easy and left everything else on normal. The temperature is still brutal on that easy one. Like, it's massively different, but it's not like you can just ignore it. You've still really got to work at maintaining your temperature and everything. So I'm thinking I might drop it down to easy across the board and just get a little bit deeper into the story, because I keep getting stuck when that large blizzard rolls in and fucks everything. It just fucks your shop.
I love that idea. Like, the game is like, oh, this is what we're doing. Oh, there's clouds over there. Oh, don't worry about the clouds. Oh, it's fine. Everything's going okay. Oh God, we have to survive an extra winter on top of winter.
Yeah. It's, a lot.
Yeah.
But like I said, it's presented really well, and thematically it's quite compelling. And, you know, we talked about how that would compare to something like This War of Mine.
Yeah.
I feel like the gameplay suits this very, very well in a way that there was a little bit of a disconnect between This War of Mine and its themes, whereas this being a lot more fantastical and very deliberately separated from climate change to some extent.
Like, yes.
Yeah, there's a couple of little notes in there about how the sun is dimming and stuff like that. So by, I feel dirty saying this, but by being a little bit less political and by being a little bit less, by tackling a less serious subject matter, it allows it to be a lot more experimental in the gameplay mechanics of it.
Yeah, I know. I've had heaps of fun with it. So excellent. If you want to be Frozen 2 and save a society, go for it.
So something else that happened this week was Battlefield 5 was announced.
Yeah. And, you know, it was really surprising. It almost made me care about Battlefield. Like, I'm about 40, 50%. Like, I was like, Battlefield, whatever. And then I saw this trailer and I was like, that reminds me of fun and joy. Alongside violence in World War II.
And weird health counters and that ridiculous LMG that takes 4.5 years to reload. It's all just so reminiscent of my Battlefield experience.
I watched it and I thought it was Cyberpunk, and that's when I was really excited.
Yeah, because like the trailer starts off with this weird plasma gun flash, and I don't know what that's about.
The colors are like super saturated, super intense, greens.
It's really bright and vibrant.
And then you have this female soldier run into the scene with a prosthetic arm, like they only learned one lesson from Fury Road. and she's running around shooting people and stuff like that.
Because, vehicles feature very prominently in the trailer as well.
Yeah, definitely. And I was like, oh, cool, awesome. And I shared it on Facebook. And some guy was like, oh, can you believe what people are saying? And I forgot that the internet existed.
Yeah, so guess how the gaming community reacted to a woman appearing in a historical context?
Disappointingly. Oh, no, that's right. They created a hashtag.
Yes.
Not my Battlefield.
Because no woman has ever picked up a weapon of any kind and appeared on any Battlefield in all of history.
Ever.
My historical inaccuracy.
Yeah, we all know that women are mystically incapable of committing violence.
Look, we like to shit on these people, but a racist and sexist clock can be right twice a day. When I sat down and watched this trailer with the tanks plowing over buildings and people landing planes with wings missing and jumping out and people getting shot and dying and then coming back later in the trailer to help out because it's a video game and they respawned, I too saw a woman and was like, that is unbelievable.
This will not stand.
That breaks my immersion. That's the part of it that is inaccurate to the experience of this World War II set video game.
And I think that touches on my favorite point, which is we can all look at the GIFs now of ridiculous things happening in other Battlefield games.
Yes, they're so good, aren't they?
And oh, everyone, the GIFs. Oh, they're so good.
My favorite one is the one where there are the two planes and the guy jumps out of his plane, no scopes the guy out of the other plane, and then boards that other plane and then flies it away.
Yeah, when I love how they take things from history and they put them in the game. Like my favorite one was where the one guy's riding the horse and there's two other guys standing on the horse and one's like standing on the horse, kind of hovering in the air, firing a flamethrower in front of them. Favorite.
Yeah, I mean, we've all seen the classic footage of that historic battle, and so their ability to bring that to life in a meaningful way is really refreshing, and it's a shame that the presence of a woman in the trailer has ruined that.
We can all be grateful that it's just the woman part they're focusing on, and not any other things.
Battlefield. I mean, the most recent COD doesn't have a fucking story mode, right?
Yep.
So, like, whatever. I mean, if you don't like the stories in COD, if it's not cost effective for them to make it, whoop-de-doo. I'm not pissy because I'm entitled about that. But the fact that it doesn't have a story mode will then put whatever the fuck you want in it, right?
Yeah.
Like, even if there weren't actually women soldiers, which, by the way, I'm going to say this very explicitly, there were a lot.
Yeah.
Look it up. Read a fucking book.
Yeah.
There were a lot of female soldiers in history, all through history. Fun fact about Vikings, women were buried with swords, and that's why for a very long time we thought there were no women Vikings in the north of Britain. Because we dug up a corpse, saw it had a sword, and went, that's a man though, isn't it? But it was a woman with a sword.
Oh my God. That sounds like old school sexist archaeologists.
Yeah, we're talking like 2013. They finally went, you know what? Let's actually examine the skeletons and see what gender we thought they were.
Huh. Turns out half of these sword wielding skeletons are women.
Yeah. Turns out it wasn't so much of a pillage and return to the motherland thing as it was a colonization effort. Which is still, you know, problematic. But
why do we always come back to colonization?
I think hashtag feminism, we can at least acknowledge the fact that women were just as good as being barbaric colonizers as any of the men in the Viking era.
I'm glad we can be that progressive.
Point is, yes, women soldiers exist. But in these games, like, I haven't played Battlefield 1. That had a story, right?
Yeah, it had, like, short segments of different parts of the war, from what I hear.
And was it like experiential, or was it more like be a hero?
I don't know. I played like half of one of them.
Are we talking more like COD 4, or are we talking more Spec Ops The Line?
You remember COD 4 for sure. Easily. I don't even need to make that comparison. You remember in Call of Duty how they had those Spec Ops missions that you could kind of do? Where they were like these little mini, it was one of the
Call of Duty's multiplayer stuff. Yeah.
But they had these little ones where you could do like 30 different mini missions. Some of them were co-op.
Yeah.
And it was basically remixed levels that you would do. That'd just be like a short level.
Yeah.
Yeah. The story campaigns kind of felt like those are the stories stapled onto it. They were very thin.
Yeah.
But what I love though is like those, remember Lawbreakers that came out? That was like a multiplayer shooter.
Nope.
Cliff Belinsky or whatever made, and now it's.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then it just, nothing happened.
That was
with
the,
it just disappeared.
Gears of War Overwatch that never was.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know what the secret sauce for making shooters is, and I don't think anyone else knows. Apart from, at the moment, Battle Royale.
Yeah, and you're talking about the color in that trailer as well. Fortnite definitely had an influence on that.
Oh,
Fortnite
yeah.
and Overwatch existing is part of what affected the color scheme of that trailer for sure.
But
that grass was like lime green.
It looked delicious.
It looked like if I was to chew on that, I would see some shit.
That's a hallucinogenic candy grass we wish were in all video games. Yeah.
And then the way they depicted the gameplay was very much run and gun, do slides, you know, mow down like six or seven dudes. It was all very high octane.
Yeah, and the way they like went into the building and it got damaged and exploded and they blew things up. It reminded me a lot of Bad Company. Which was my favorite Battlefield, because I played a lot of Bad Company 2. And
I thought you were going to say I play a lot of bad video games.
I also do that. That's not the point we're talking about right now, but it kind of is. But in Bad Company, my favorite thing was just blowing up houses and jumping out of them and doing silly things.
And see, like, all of that sounds rad as fuck to me in a single-player game. I don't want to play, like, a multiplayer shooter online and deal with that shit, you know? Obviously, the main reason we're talking about this is because of how internet shit babies throw a fucking tantrum.
But it was really pathetic. Like, if you want to be sad, but also laugh, but be sad and laugh, look up that hashtag I mentioned before.
Yeah. Like, and it's just, what's depressing about it is.
It's tribalism?
Yeah, it's tribalism, definitely. And the truth is, like, I find it hard to find words to describe how incorrect and totally entitled and so viscerally opposed to change to describe people like this that doesn't make me feel like I'm mocking people who have conditions like autism or OCD, because these people definitely don't. That's the problem is that they're bigots, right? And it shits me so much that they're conflated in these conversations.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You know, like,
these are just horrible, entitled shitty people who just want everything to look the way they want it to look and to never change and to always be 100% comfortable. And the second something becomes marginally less completely about them, suddenly someone's attacking them and trying to take away their culture and all of this fucking bullshit. And like you said, it's funny, but it's also infuriating and really depressing. And the good news is though, every year, more mainstream video games become better at representation. And the fact that Battlefield is so prominently featuring women in the game at all is probably completely cynical because our culture is growing a bit and wants to see more of
and,
that.
And
so, that's the upside.
It values that. The people, DICE or whoever it is, are like, this is what people want.
Yeah. And like,
that's why
even like completely mechanically, that's a good sign. And so I feel like, you know, as depressing as it can be to see vocal minority is sometimes used to dismiss the severity of groups like this, but a hostile number of people who are literally in the minority on this issue. Yeah. It is nice to be reminded that they are, in fact, in the minority. And this kind of really intense reaction is because they sense that they are, in fact, being dismissed.
You're right,
which
David,
is great.
That does make me feel warm inside.
Fuck those nerds.
Oh, why is all our language self? It always feels like we're being mean to ourselves.
Yeah, I mean, let's not. That'll break real very quickly. Let us not.
We're done. What are we talking about next, David?
So, look, honestly, the only other thing I can think is that new Bithel game.
Oh,
came
yeah.
out this week, like on Thursday, I want to say, maybe Wednesday.
So it would be last week from when this is being released.
Yeah, last week. Yeah, yeah. This week as we record this, but 4 or 5 days ago.
Depends
when you
on
hear
where
it.
You slice your week.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, it was it.
Quarantine Circular.
Yeah, I'm sensing a naming conventional trend.
Yeah,
here.
So I made this link very recently. Subsurface Circular clearly means underground loop. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it's specifically the London Underground, or do they call it the Loop? I think they call it the Tube.
I'm pretty sure they call it the Loop.
They might call it the Loop, but I think they call it the Tube.
I don't know, Dave.
I have to catch the Tube.
I don't know how British.
I'm Harry Potter, and I'm going to bring Arthur Weasley for his first ride on the Tube.
Oh my God, where is this going? I don't understand, Dave.
I'm pretty sure they say Tube, though.
I think
the fancier people say Underground.
I'm not disputing, Dave.
And I think the less fancy people say Tube.
Why are we talking about the Tube, Dave?
It's such a good Britishism. I love it.
That may be, but what's it have to do with Quantum Circular?
Well, I mean, I was talking about Subsurface Circular, but the point is Quantum Circular came out.
Yes!
I have yet to play it, and I'm bummed out a little bit. Yeah. Although, I made a joke about it that Mike Bithell retweeted, which made me feel important for 5 seconds, which I think is the main reason all of us engage with Twitter, is to feel important for all of 5 seconds.
That's pretty true. Yeah. When I think about it, it's like really micro dopamine doses. Ugh.
Good words. I love them.
I love them. Love those words. I love dopamine. but it looks interesting, and I'm kind of happy with this weird style of 3D modeled but narrative games.
Yeah. One thing that kind of grinds my gears a little bit is I'm seeing a lot of websites refer to it as a text adventure, and it's not a text adventure. It's an interactive novel.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Like, it'd be closer to a visual novel.
Yeah. Because like visual novel is what we call comics. So I don't know. Is visual novel the genre for
Because there is the genre of like video games where you make narrative decisions and it's all a dialogue, basically dialogue tree. Those are called visual novels.
Yeah.
They're primarily out of Japan, but they've kind of crossed into the mainstream.
Yeah, and there's a lot of them that are dating sims.
Yes,
as well.
Like Dream Daddy is the one that springs to mind.
So you wouldn't call Dream Daddy a text adventure, would you?
No. Text adventure is the wrong term.
Text adventure is like Zork and King's Quest.
Ah, Zork. You're old. I have a CD-ROM of Zork.
This is an interactive novel.
Yeah.
And the last one was pretty good.
Yeah,
apparently this one's better.
Oh, yeah. This one's better than the last one, which is pretty good.
And it's the thing. Like, I got that on special. It had a release day special for 20% off. It was $6 and I took 20% off it. What the fuck, Mike Bithell? How do you turn a profit on that? What the hell? Oh. Like, that's nothing for a brand new game.
Well, if you're making good games, which he does.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right.
Well, when was the last one released?
Late last year.
So if you're releasing them every so often and you make a lot of sales on them, you can sell games for cheap
and
if
let's,
your studio
let's
is small.
Be real. If you put the price mark at $11, I buy that game once. Put it at $6, I buy it again when it comes out on Switch.
Yeah.
You know, like that. They sold that game twice by setting it at $6, you know?
It's a good point. At that price, I wouldn't mind buying it for like my phone. Or what have you, or something like
that. Yeah, I think Subsurface Circular is out on pretty much everything now, right?
I'm sure it would be.
Yeah. I think I made this comment before, but what I find really interesting about Subsurface Circular is I played that on my ultra-wide monitor.
Yeah.
And when I play it on my Switch, it actually gives you letterboxing to stay at a very similar ratio, and the interface goes into the letterboxing, whereas on the computer, on that ultra-wide monitor, the interface was overlaid, but there was no letterboxing. I think that's kind of strange to have a game that was built with that cinematic aspect ratio in mind.
Yeah, interesting.
God, it's a good one, though. I was looking at a Twitter thread about how they made the game look a lot better than the models actually were by just following some basic principles of theater lighting. And so those vignettes they show at the start of Subsurface Circular
yeah.
that's really really good looking. That's really, really, really good looking.
The goodest.
It was a Zoolander reference.
I've never watched Zoolander.
You've never watched Zoolander?
Yeah.
You lucky duck. I mean, because this is the thing. If you've never watched Zoolander, you never have to look back on your life and go, damn, I used to be really into Zoolander.
Yeah, this is why I'm really grateful I never watched Deuce Bigelow, Male Gigolo.
Yeah, Zoolander was like memes before the internet was fast enough to facilitate memes. So we just made a bunch of references to movies and talked about how things were really, 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 really ridiculously good looking. And Blue Steel?
Yeah, I was just busy playing
Metro 2033.
I was going to say Zombie Panic. If this is around high school, this is probably what I was playing.
Yeah.
Yeah. StarCraft, Diablo, Zombie Panic.
Mm.
Half-Life.
Anyway. I was making a point about the lighting in Subsurface Circular. Yeah, and the thing is, like, when you actually take a closer look at those models, I mean, they're very well designed. The art direction is very good.
Yeah.
To the point where I want to steal it. But,
you know,
for a
D&D
campaign.
Oh, right. Yeah. You want to steal it in a way where you won't get caught.
Yeah. I want to steal it in a way where I can be like, so there's a robot and he looks cool. Here's a picture of him. This is the robot that you guys see.
He's the robot.
He's a robot.
Look at him bleep.
Yeah, bloop.
Bloop.
So here's an interesting thing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you reckon it's the same universe?
I don't know. I haven't played the game.
Yeah. We should find out. We really should have played it before we decided to talk about this. Hey.
Hey, look. Okay. Look, listen. We don't have to play games to talk about them. We only have to play them if we want to talk about them critically.
Yeah, we only have to have seen the trailer and then have to get on YouTube and film ourselves reacting to the trailer and then spending 30 minutes speculating about every tiny hint that's in the trailer.
That sounds pretty much like YouTube, if react videos are anything to go off.
Oh, we're going to pull apart everything that's in the trailer. After Infinity War, I watched some. I'm going to try and keep this spoiler free. But I watched something that was like all of the Easter eggs you missed from Infinity War.
Yes,
and one
I
of the Easter
saw those
eggs,
videos and I avoided all of them.
Yeah, one of these videos started with, and here's a fact you might have missed from Infinity War. This character was in it. Here's what I think they're going to do in the next one. And it was like, so you saw that this character appeared, and so you're just going to try and spoil a movie that doesn't even have a trailer released for it yet.
Ah, it's the future where we spoil things before they exist.
And the thing is, like, the kinds of people who get all up in that video, it's like, oh yeah, fan theories. They're the kinds who would rinse your shit if you spoiled something for them. Because if you get something spoiled, you don't get to act smart when you leave the cinema and say, I knew that was going to happen.
Yeah, see, I never know what's going to happen because I don't know what's real or what's not. I don't like that. Can you cut that? That felt weird.
I never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, there was supposed to be a joke in there, but the joke was self-deprecating. It was supposed to be, I'm an idiot. But instead, it just came off weird. Out it goes.
Yeah, I wasn't really sure where you're going with that one. The point is, I'm talking about Quarantine Circular because I'm excited to play it. And Subsurface Circular was very good, and I'm very happy. Like, I'm shocked that the next one came out so quick. I thought it was going to be at least a year.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
And micro games like this that just come out very quick and are cheap to produce and cheap to buy, I would like to see more of those of like a high quality where I can trust the quality going into them rather than being like shovelware.
Yeah, but this is why I like to watch movies rather than watch whole TV shows. Mm. Because, like, even if it is terrible, at least it's only 2 hours. You know, and especially if it's from creators you trust and stuff like that. And I always love the idea of being more engaged in the people who make the things we love rather than being giant faceless corporate entities that exist to suck money out of us via microtransactions. That's the better. It's the better. So, yeah, if people get to make the art they want and make a living, awesome.
Yeah, no, that's really
and
cool.
And I hope that's what's happening.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I need to buy more versions of Subsurface Circular.
Was there anything else you wanted to talk about this week, John?
No, not really.
All right. Well, there's a fast cast.
Was there anything?
Print it. We're
print
done.
It. Take it to the...
Fuck it.
To the presses.
That's good enough.
This is the midnight release.
That'll satisfy our fucking disgusting public.
Oh, you're not disgusting, public.
Yeah, these ravenous, hungry fans constantly wanting blood from our stone of creative energy.
They're actually pretty genuinely.
You vampire parasites.
They're mostly nonplussed. I think they're rather relaxed. Let's calm your tots.
Yeah,
your
so tots. I don't know. That'll do, I guess.
Oh, God. Oh.
Thanks so much for joining us for another Fastcast. If you like what we do and you wanna get to know this winning personality a little bit more thoroughly, you can find me on Twitter @SlowpokesCast. John is on Facebook, facebook.com/slowpokespodcast. Be aware that literally every website has had an upgrade to its privacy policy.
Yes.
So you might get inundated with those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
not my fault, but you know.
I already have. And here at the Slowpokes, we don't keep any of your personal information. So.
Yeah, I mean, you're lucky if I remember your fucking name, honestly.
Damn it, David. Stop being so mean.
Yeah.
I write you those.
Sometimes people say things. I just think I had the thought. Like, I don't even remember having the conversation.
God, I write you these cue cards so that you can remember our fans' names. Can you? Okay, well, I mean.
So, I'd like to say very much a big thanks to
David
Donatello for
okay, I'm gonna
his
stop
great
you the-
questions.
I'm going to stop you there, David. Do you know what our next game is?
I'm going to say.
Okay. Drum roll.
I'm going to say that it is the fighting game.
Yes.
That's got Batman in it. Nailed it.
You sound as tired as I feel.
Sorry, it's been a very long day for both of us.
Yeah.
But yes, our next game is Injustice.
Yeah.
I'm going to just lay it right out here. We were originally planning on doing both Injustice 1 and Injustice 2. Turns out Injustice 1, not a lot you can say about that game.
Yeah.
It's mainly going to be Injustice 2 that we're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. I don't even remember what we said. I remember playing Injustice 2.
Yeah, no, we talked about it.
I'm glad.
Yeah, no, there was some stuff that we could talk about. There was a conversation to have about that game.
That's a relief.
Yeah, we've already recorded that episode, if it isn't obvious. That'll be coming out a week from today.
Mm-hmm.
I've yet to edit it, so we'll see if that turns out to be any good.
Oh, man, this is starting to become behind the scenes, David. We better end it before we start to reveal our bank information.
I mean, that's the thing with Franz Crave, us complaining about how difficult it is to make the stuff they enjoy.
It's so hard sometimes.
But yes, if you are into fighting games, which neither of us have played very much of before this game, and you want to hear about our reactions to Injustice 2 and a little bit of Injustice 1, mm-hmm. join us next week. In the meantime, I have been David.
I have been John.
Thank you so much for joining us for the Fastcast.
And join us next time.